Down to cover today, and I hope that you will enjoy the study. I have enjoyed preparing the latter part of this study more than I've enjoyed doing anything in a long time. It's like having to thread a needle 75 times and get it right every time. And I just tried to print it, and I didn't thread it right, 76, 77, 78. It's down in the printer. Hopefully it's coming out right now and you'll be able to see what we're going to look. I want to just begin by thanking Bill Ingram for teaching last week. He taught while I was out of town, and he talked about the flood, and I really, really am thankful that he has done that. That should be slide two. Is it ready to come up, I think? And then I want us all to appreciate just all that is involved in this book, of Genesis. Go ahead and put the next slide up. I don't seem to have my notes here, but I want to make some general observations about the flood, just to emphasize, not that Bill did not do a good job last week in teaching it by any means. I just want to emphasize some things. One thing I want to talk about is the fact that it was a worldwide flood. Sometimes, and there's so many individuals, especially people that don't respect the Bible, and they're trying to explain away every one of the miracles, you know. And Bill talked about last week, where did all that water come from? And the Bible talks about the fountains of the earth broke up, and there's more water inside the earth than there is on top of the earth. I don't know if you know that or not, but in the aquifers and everything, you ever been over to Warm Springs, Georgia? Silver Springs on the other side of the state. Where's all that water coming from? It's not coming out of the ocean. That's the purest, clearest water you've ever seen. And evidently, I talked to some individual. It's coming out of North Carolina. Can you believe that? I mean, some way, somehow, there's all that water that's getting down inside the earth and gets to Florida, and it just pops up over there, all over that side of the state of Florida. A lot of water beneath. And then the Bible talks about there was the firmament, that which is the sky in Genesis 1, and there was the water above the firmament. I have no idea what that means. I get a picture of it, but then the water that was below the firmament. I hope this is just right, okay? Yes, okay. Okay, yes, this is exactly what I wanted. I threaded it right the last two times, so that part of it is great. You'll be getting copies of this a little bit later in this class. But there was that water that was above the sky. And when the fountains of water poured down from heaven, God had no problems. But modernists would say, oh, it was just a local flood. I love common sense sometimes when it comes to the matter of understanding arguments that people make. Common sense would tell you that if that was a local flood, our God is stupid for getting all those animals to come and get inside the ark. You ever thought about that? Just common sense would tell you that if you're going to destroy only the animal, to only destroy the people in a general area, and the flood was very limited, why bring all of those animals and put them in the ark? Just cause them to migrate over, 50 miles away. And then after the flood, cause them to migrate back. And that in and of itself. And then the other thing is the rainbow itself. I will never again do what I have done this time. And he sent many local floods, and Bill made that point exceptionally well. I want to talk a little bit about the size of the ark. I tried to put in some slides that we've made of that the ark experience that's up there in Kentucky. You cannot begin to imagine the size of the ark until you go to... How many of you have seen that ark? Aren't you overwhelmed at how big it is? I mean, I just absolutely... And I had some photos, and they were just too large to get them over and bring them over into this. And that's part of the frustration this morning. They were on their way over, and then all of a sudden, they disappeared. I think they disappeared into the cloud, and that's where they're stuck somewhere in the internet between my iPad and my laptop and the printer. And I have no idea where they're stuck, but they'll come out, and I'll bring those back sometime just to give you some concept of it. I believe David mentioned this when he talked about the flood, but when Katie and Kelly were real small, I did the granddam thing and took them out, and we got a string that was 25 feet long. And we measured 25 feet distance starting up at that far end of the property up there, just that northern extremity, and measured all the way down 25 feet at a time to figure out exactly how long the ark was. And, pardon me. And it reached almost to the stop sign out there. And that's amazing. I would encourage you to get some concept of the size of the ark. Sometime just to drive up to that northern end of our driveway and then look back out here to where our fence is down on this end. It's massively, massively huge. And those slides will show it. I should have, okay, put the next statements up there, and I think I'm about ready to go. And that is, as you get out of the size of the ark, the next thing is, I'm ready for the next slide, if it will come up. Before getting to the midst of the flood, I want us to spend this time looking between Adam and Noah, the genealogy. We talked about this before, but I'm telling you, it is just better than I thought that it would be. Ricky, come up here. I believe you can handle this. I want to give to you a chart that we talked about last week, and I want us to be talking about it. So, Ricky, just give one to everyone here, and don't anybody look at this when you first get it. I know you will, but I'm going to go ahead and trust that you'll be able to do like kids in kindergarten, and that is to obey instruction. But I want us to look at this. First of all, look at that map, and it asks the question, and it shows the 1,656 years. Show that next slide, if you would. And you see the orange bar that is across there? Over on this side of that orange bar is the creation. Over on this other side is the flood. And so we've got a timeline that is that represents that distance. So it's 1,656 years, and you'll be getting a copy of this. Now then, let's put Adam on there. How long does Adam live? Anybody have, would it be over 900? 930 years. Let's lay Adam up there. Adam is how old when his first son is born? And go ahead and put that next one up there, and that'll give us some idea. You see the little yellow numbers at the top. You may not be able to read them, but Adam's 130 years old when Seth is born. And so that's the timeline for Seth. Seth lives 912 years. So he outlives Adam, but did Adam know Seth? Yeah. Seth had a son named Enosh, E-N-O-S-H, not Enoch, but Enosh. And so he has a son named Enosh, and guess how long he lived? 905 years. Adam knew his grandson. He knew his grandson for a long, long time. Cana is the next individual. Adam would have known him, would he have not? And that is, he lived 919 years. Now, we're getting way, way down in history. You start thinking about this. You know, we're way beyond 1,000 years after the creation. And so, Cana had a son named Mahalalel. Mahalalel lives 895 years. That is remarkable, is it not? Lived 995 years. Do we have enough of those to go around, Robert? I printed 75 of them, hoping that they would all go around. You can go ahead and look at the chart now if you want to. Mahalalel lives 895, and then Jared lives 962 years. Did Adam know Jared? Can you look down from the timeline of Adam there at the top? And does his life extend beyond the period of Jared? What do you know about Enoch? He walked with God. Did Adam know Enoch? Adam was only 612 years of age when Enoch was born. That's remarkable, isn't it? Here's the man that by faith Enoch walked with God. And he could have talked to his, and I don't know how many greats you put to get back to Adam, but well, thank you very much. But would it have been great, 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 great grandfather? Would that be about four greats plus a grand and a father to get all the way back? Should be five greats, I think, and then grand and father. He knew Enoch. How did Enoch know about God? Wonder what he knew about sin. Wonder what he knew about how God reacts to people disobeying Him. Wonder if he knew anything at all about worshiping God and what lesson might have been learned from Cain and Abel. The reality is, we don't know how all this information was transmitted. But in our minds of the patriarchal age, we've said he spoke to the fathers. And that's the picture that we've had, and that is, he spoke to Father Adam, he spoke to Father Seth, he spoke to Father Enosh, to Father Keanu, to Father Mahaliel, to Father Jared, and to Father Enoch. Well, he may have, but he didn't have to. Why? Because Adam was there and could tell them everything about sin and about God's attitude toward it. The faith of Enoch is truly, truly remarkable, is it not? I mean, you stop and think about the fact, here is Enoch, and he had great, great faith. Wonder where he got that faith. Well, did your grandfather impact you much? My grandfather greatly impacted my life. I was in my teens when he died, but man, in that period he was in my life, he really, really impacted my life. Would you like to have known your great-grandfather? How would you like to have known, and let's see, we are now five greats, I guess. How would you like to have known your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather? Enoch knew his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Do you think if my grandfather had lived some more years, he would have impacted my life? Yes. I'd like to have known my great-grandfather. I love ancestry and what it'll allow you to do to trace your family tree and do that kind of thing. I'd like to have known about them. My great-grandfather was from the north. Can you believe that? And in the Civil War, he came down the south and fought down to the south, and he met a southern lady. And right before the end of the Civil War, she went up to Indiana and married him. 3 months after the Civil War ended, my great-grandfather moved back to Alabama. And I suspect there ought to be stories about those Southerners tar and feathering this dumb Yankee who's taken this Southern belle and married her. You understand that? I'd like to know those stories. I don't know them. You think that would impact my life? Yeah. Did it happen? I don't know whether it happened or not. I'd just like to know that. Enoch, did you know your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather? Yeah, his name was Adam. Wait a minute. Who's after Enoch? After Enoch? Look who's after Enoch. Methuselah. Is that remarkable? Look how long the life of Adam and Methuselah overlap. Isn't that remarkable? Oldest man that ever lived knew the first man that ever lived. Wait a minute. After Methuselah, Lamech. Do you see that yellow line that comes down has 930 at the top? That's when Adam dies, that yellow line that's coming down vertically, down to toward the bottom of the page. That's when Adam died. Lamech knew Adam. Does this blow your mind? Does it blow your mind like it blows my mind? Well, wait now. Now, who is Lamech's son? Can you believe that? Did Noah know Adam? Nope. He did not know Adam. But his daddy did. Now think of all the wisdom that there would be handed down historically as father told his son who tells the next son who tells the next son who tells the next son. Dick, I know you've got an engineering mind, but I don't have an engineer mind. But when I laid this thing out on the graph, I still don't believe it. Now, if you think this is interesting, guess what I'm working on next? I'm working on Noah. Did Abraham know Noah? Isn't that amazing? And we're not going to talk about that slide, but that's a whole aspect of the patriarchal age we have never, ever, ever thought about. Methuselah could have sat down for 150 years and talked to Adam. I don't know that he did. I don't even know if he lived in the same area or region or anything, but he could have. And Noah's father knew Adam. I have enjoyed, as I've said, working on this more than anything I've done lately. It has just been such an eye-opening anything. Now then, let's look at this chart and look at and ask another question. Who could have known Adam, but who could Noah have known? Well, that's interesting. Noah knew his father, didn't he? Yep. He knew his father. How long did Noah know his father? Well, from the day he was born until the day that he died. Guess how many years that is? 595 years. Noah's father died 5 years before the flood. Could Noah have known Methuselah? I mean, you start at Noah. I don't have the yellow lines, but go up from Noah. Does it intersect the life of Methuselah? Oh yeah. How many years could Noah have known Methuselah? Only 600 years. Why? That's all the age Noah was when the flood came. Do you notice anything unusual about where the line on Methuselah's life ends? You see it on the chart? Methuselah died the same year the flood came. Isn't that remarkable? Did he die in the flood? I don't know, and you don't know, and anybody that says they do doesn't know. He died the same year of the flood. And all you got to do is just take these numbers and just add them up and subtract them. I love the fact Brother Franklin Camp said, God put these numbers in here for some reason. I mean, how do we know it was 1,656 years between the creation of the flood? Well, that's real easy. You start with Adam from the day he was born, and to get to 130 years, and then you put a marker there, and then you just keep going on down with Adam and keep adding up. This one was this old when his son was born, when that son, the next son was born, the next son was born, and the next son was born. And the flood came in the 600th year of Noah's life. So the flood lasted, pardon me, 1,656 years. I mean, it didn't last 16, but it came 1,656 years after the creation. And so that allows you then to start with the life of Noah and back up 600 years. And that's what we did. That's why he's on the bottom, down at the chart. This only traces the life of Noah. How long did Noah live altogether? Anybody, would you like to hazard a guess? 950 years. when Noah comes out of the ark, Shem's with him, and Arphaxad, and Sailor, and Eber, and Peleg, and Reu, and Serug, all of those descendants of Noah are over there, and they could have been told by their great-great-grandfather about the flood. And we're working on that next chart to see, could Abraham have known Noah? Now what happens? After they come out of the ark, they start having children when they're 30 years of age. Not when they're 130, not when they're 187, I think one of those numbers is. Could Noah have known Enoch? Look at the chart. Look at Noah's life and look up above. Could he have known Enoch? Looking at the chart? No way. Why? Enoch's line ends before you get over to the life of Noah. Isn't that remarkable? Wait a minute. Enoch died real young, did he? By faith, Enoch walked with God, and he was not because God took him. I love a little Sunday school girl talking about this. Said every day Enoch got up and he went for a walk with God. And the next day they'd walk some more and go a little bit farther. And finally, after they'd walked 365 years, God said to Enoch, "You're so much closer to my house than you are to her house. Come on, go home with me." He was not, for God took him. My grandfather always said things in weird ways to help me remember them. Something about my impact my grandfather had. I was a teenager when he died. You can see this if you'll look at the screen. The oldest man that ever lived. You see him, Methuselah. The oldest man that ever lived died before his father did. Now, how's that possible? If you die before your father does, then your father is a whole lot older than you are. No. Enoch did not die. When you get to Genesis 5, and that's where these numbers come from, and he died. He lived after he begat Seth. He lived X number of years. And all the years of Adam were such and such, and he died. And all the years of Seth were, and he died. And all the years of Enos were, and he died. But when it comes to Enoch, and all the years of Enoch, and he was not, for God took him. Wait a minute. Then there's a gap. Oh, well, there's not really a gap. There's a gap from Enoch. But you go back to Jared. Did Noah know Jared? Look how many years he knew Jared. Noah lived 600 years, and for the first 366 years of his life, he knew his great-great-great-grandfather. That's amazing. Noah's life goes all the way back to Jared. What about Mahalalel? Well, how long could Noah have known Mahalalel? 234 years. Isn't that remarkable? What about Kiana? Could Noah have known Kiana, the great-grandson of Adam? Oh, yes, he could have known Kiana for 197 years. How long could he have known Enosh, Adam's grandson? The first 84 years of Noah's life, he could have known Adam's grandson. Does this change your view of the patriarchal age? I'm telling you, it is as eye-opening a study I mean, I knew it, but I'd never put it on a graft. And you begin looking at this, and it is remarkable. But if you think this is remarkable, just wait till we get to Noah living 350 years after the flood, and Seth living 500 years after the flood. Now, when you get beyond Noah, the age really begins to drop. And so instead of living 900 years, Shem lives only 600 years. He lived 100 years before the flood and 500 years after that. And then you just keep on going down, and all of a sudden they start having their children at 30 or 32 or 29 years of age, and they live 175, 187 years. And so now, if you've got Shem living 500 years, when every 30 years or so, for about five generations, there's another grandson, great-grandson, great-great-grandson, born. It's amazing how far down Shem comes. And we're not going to present that. Would you like a copy of don't show that yet. We don't need that one yet. Okay, the one that's on the screen. That's the one that is in preparation. Just go back to the one that says Noah could have known for how many years, and here's the how many years he could have known. That's remarkable, isn't it? That is remarkable. And if you want a copy of this one, I'm going to put all of these copies on the back pew, and you can do with this whatever you want to do, but you'll be able to get them after class or after worship today. You want them right now? If I pass them out now, would you promise not to look at them? Okay. Dick, if you'll come, or no, Robert, that was you that came, and Ricky, if you'll come and pass these out. And we're going to leave all of this now. We're through with this genealogy from Adam to Noah. The next time you'll see a chart like this, it will be from Noah after the flood and Shem after the flood until we get down to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So just thought you'd want a copy of that. And it took a while to put all that together. But I loved every minute of it, as tedious as it was to be able to get all of that so that it is at least a semi-accurate, almost totally accurate visual representation of all of those things that are there. Now let's get to the text. The flood is recorded in the book of Genesis from Genesis chapter 6, and I think that's all the slides, Bob, that we have today. It's recorded in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8. And then in chapter 9 is where you have the rainbow covenant. I will establish my covenant, that's chapter 9, verse 11. I will establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. There is a song that has been recorded that is based on this, and it's not in our song book. It's more of a kind of a pop kind of song that you would sing. But it says, "He'll never do it again except by fire," or "next time it's fire," I think's the name of it. And I don't know if you've heard that song or not, but it is sobering to think. But if God destroyed evil so much, they wanted to wipe it off this earth, and he was sorry that he'd ever made man on this earth. He hated that he had made man. Just pause long enough, and I have no answer to what I'm about to say. If there were no righteous people on this earth, where was Lamech? Where was Methuselah? Where were all of these individuals that were there? Where was Keanu, Mahalalel, Jared? It shows you, when you get to chapter 6, how quickly nations had become evil and every thought of man's heart was on evil continually. When God decided to destroy this earth, Noah was on this earth, but so were all of his greats. And they were on this earth, and God said, I'm sorry, I've made man. And so I'm not sure how much Adam would have been able to tell his great-great-great-great-grandchildren if they'd even been interested. Hard enough, isn't it, to get your children to listen to you? You know, your grandchildren think you're special as long as you're headed for Walmart and everything, but hard to get them to listen to you sometimes. And so in chapter 9 is the covenant of the rainbow. And then said, starting in verse 18, now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham was the father of Canaan. How about that? Ham was the father of Canaan. You ever heard of Canaan? We sing about it, do we not? To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. Where does that land get its name? From the descendant of Ham. And then you've got an interesting story about that these were the sons of Noah and from whom the whole earth was populated. I want you to understand that genetically, in these eight people that came out of the ark, you've got Chinese and Japanese. You've got Arabs. You've got pygmies. You've got Aborigines. Genetically, in those eight individuals is all of the different races there are on this earth. Now, if anybody who's been breeding dogs understands something, it's amazing what you can do breeding dogs, isn't it? You know, at one time there was no such thing as a little Pekingese. And it's a long time. One time, there's no such thing as a Great Dane. Now, genetically, there were all of those dogs, but those are specialized breeds that have been brought about by selective breeding, isn't it not? And so you've got all of this. Bert Thompson, who was a creationist that was a part of our work, especially when we were over on 36th Street, but he taught a lesson over there on What color was Adam? Because in Adam and Eve, genetically, you've got the potentiality of all of the races. And if you thought Adam was a white man, you need to go back and rethink it. Genetically, knowing what genes are dominant and what genes are recessive, Adam very likely was not a white man, and Eve was not a white woman. I don't know what color they were. Bert Thompson presented it, and that was his specialty in everything. And it was real interesting to hear him discuss all of this and how all of the races have come about from Adam, and then from Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. Noah began to be a farmer. And this is the occasion whenever he drank the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And as a result of Ham saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers. But Shem and Japheth, they're the other two sons of Noah, took a garment, laid it on their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. That shows to you that nakedness is not God's original plan. When Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, what was the first thing they noticed? We're naked. And they made clothes. Now, even after they had clothes on, they said, we're naked. I find that part of it amazing. because I think sometimes there are a lot of folks running around with clothes on and they're still naked. I'm not sure if you've observed very much lately, but I'm not sure whatever fruit that was that Eve ate of, but I wish they'd pass it around America again, don't you? You know, if it's going to make us have a sense of the way that we dress or the way that we undress. Anyway, Ham discovered it. And Ham told his other two sons, and his two sons had a respect for their naked father that Ham did not have. And so as a result of this, verse 24, when Adam awoke from his wine, and he knew that his younger son had what his younger son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan." Who's Canaan? That's Ham's son. "Cursed be Ham, a servant of servants he shall be to all of his brethren." And all you have to do is to study the genetical races that come out of Ham. And they have, in by large part, been slaves around the world. And this is not because of sin, but it is that is just where he says, "Cursed be Ham, he'll be a servant," and doesn't say his skin will be the color of the skin of slaves, but in the application of it. When you look at maps that show where Shem settled and where Japheth settled and where Ham settled, a lot of it's down in Africa. And history has shown that. God could see it ahead of time and said, and this is the consequences of this. And I don't understand everything that's involved and the consequences of it, but Noah passed a curse upon his grandson, Canaan. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant, may Jephthah enlarge, and may his dwelling place be, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servants." So you've got the descendants of Jephthah. And so you've got all three of some of the races that are there, and God saw ahead of time. And that's not to justify slavery. That's not what that is. That's just God foretelling something so that we can just sort of look and see the fulfillment of it. And you look at the history of it, and that's the very kind of things that came out of that. And I'm somewhat hesitant to even talk about this in this day and age because, you know, well, Dan, are you a racist? I sure hope I'm not. You know, I hope I do not see color and treat people different because of the color. I may do it, but I don't do it consciously. You don't know how much this redneck from Alabama has had to change his heart and his upbringing to deal with that. But Christianity calls you to do that, will it not? To see all men as being equal. And I remember when I came back from New Zealand and Fiji the first time, and been around all of those blacks out there in Fiji. I went down. This was '69 when Bull Connors. Is that '63? Whenever they had the police dogs out in Birmingham, blew up that Baptist church down there, and two girls were killed in it. You remember all those racist strife? And I came back, and I lived in Birmingham. I went down to the bus station. I was going to go preach in a meeting up in Tennessee. And I was riding the bus up there, and there was a man sitting over there. And I just started talking to him, and found out, you know, we've got to visit. I went over, sat down to him, started visiting with him. And when the time came for us to get on the bus, he got on the bus. I went on the bus and sat down right beside him on the bus. We just had the greatest conversation I've ever seen. It was only afterward, because I'd not been in Alabama during all that racist time, that I recognize how crazy folks in Alabama would have thought I was because he was a black man. I did not even notice he was black. I'm sure I noticed he was black, but had been in Fiji and being around the Fijians and in their huts and everything. And when I got back, I didn't see color. And all of that hate that was there in Alabama at that time, I was not even aware. I was not a part of it. I was a Fijian at the time, if that makes sense. And that's the way it ought to be in Christ. And we need to understand that in Christ Jesus, there's neither Jew nor free, bond nor free, male nor female, rich or poor, educated and uneducated, black or white, Jew or Gentile, and all of the rest distinctions that we make, they do not exist in Christ. And some of the great Bible students I have known were people in Fiji that had had a third grade education. They were black, and you'd be amazed what they've taught me about the Bible. What'd they do? They just had the Bible. Husbands, you'd love this if you were a Fijian. You've got really important things to do. You've got your coconut tree, and you lie down under that coconut tree, and you look up waiting for a coconut to fall so you can catch it. This is an exaggeration. You know where your wife is? The tide goes out, and the wife goes down, and in all those puddles and eddies that there were where the fish have gotten trapped, she gets the meat. And so you bring home the coconut, she brings home the bacon, if that makes sense. And I've told the Fijian men, you've got to understand a little bit more to providing for your own family than waiting for the coconuts to fall out from under the tree, or knowing that, 2 miles back over here in this jungle area, there's a banana stalk that's going to ripen in about another, 6 months from now. And you want to be over there to bring home the bananas, And so you've got bananas and coconut, and you've got some sort of grapes to eat and things of that nature. But their diet is very, very simple. But it is remarkable how all of these things transpire. Chapter 10. You get to chapter 10, nations descended from Noah. Look what's happened. This is the genealogy of the sons of Noah: Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And sons were born to them after the floods. The sons of Japheth: Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. Do you recognize any of those words? What about Magog? Book of Revelation. Gog and Magog. What about Meshech? Book of Revelation. These became tribes and in a sense became nations. And so the Lord, when He wants sometimes to refer to some individuals, would describe them in these sons. Now the sons of Gomer are listed in verse 3. And then all of these sons are there. And you get down to verse 5. From these the coastlands, people of the Gentiles, were separated under their lands. Who are these? These are the sons of Japheth. And so they separated after the flood, and more especially after the Tower of Babel, and they went to the coastlands, every man according to his language. Now, we're over in chapter 11 before that happens, but Moses is writing this after the event. And so we've time's up. I cannot believe that. Where did it all go? Well, we'll take up next week, and I want to get to the Tower of Babel, and we may talk about Abraham's genealogy next week if you want to. Thank you very much.